Well, when you're addicted to bass fishing, as the Hibdens are, there's no question you go out and you win a tournament, and then you probably go home and you take a nap or something. No, not really. With me today is Dion Hibden. And Dion, you went down at the FLW series at Lake of the Ozarks, your home water, and whacked them. Just took everybody to the cleaners. But then I call you up to set up this interview, and guess what you're doing? You're fishing again.
I can't get enough of it for the most part. Like I say, it's one of those deals that you don't get an opportunity to whack them as good as I did last week very often. So if you have a chance you get to get back out there and do it again, you better get at it. So we've been having fun the last week or two.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, from the standpoint of going out there, and this isn't typical Hibden fishing. I mean, you know, you guys go out there and you catch them, but this was something you guys were doing, something much different than you ever had before, and it parlayed into a win for you.
Yeah, we fish a jig a lot, you know, and we fish a jig deeper some. But here on Lake of the Ozarks, for the most part in the fall, you know, the wind and fish normally come from boat docks in some form or fashion. And we actually fished a BFL tournament before the cutoff on this tournament, and we both made the money. And when we did that, you know, we just didn't do what we wanted to do. You know, I thought, man, when the FLW comes around, I don't want to be catching 12 pounds a day, you know, which normally would be pretty good in the fall. So we took it upon ourselves to practice accordingly to try to figure out how to win the tournament. And we'd heard rumors of some guys fishing a little bit deeper than what we ever did. And like I say, we had about 4 days left to pre-practice, and we just never throwed it to boat dock the rest of the time. We just fished deep the whole time.
When you look at this and you reflect back on it now, is that going to kind of change the Hibden style? I mean, you guys have got a long-standing reputation, both you and your father, for being darn good at docks. Now, is this going to maybe change it?
I don't know that it'll change my style. I'll still always do that. But it damn sure gives me another weapon. It gives me a whole other thing to try every now and then. And like I say, I look back on some of the tournaments that I've seen won this year and heard about this year and stuff like that. And there's several different places where I could have fished, you know, a lot deeper than I did and you know, made it happen. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a new deal in my arsenal, that's for sure, from now on.
Well, you know, of course you're not going to tell me everything, but I'm going to try to get everything out of you because, you know, it's something that gives you an edge. And this fishing deep with this jig, you know, the way you're doing it and some of those kind of things has got to be an edge that you kind of want to keep private, I would think.
Oh, yeah, as much as I can. I think what we figured out is this time of the year, those fish eat shad a bunch. You know, it's just a major forage for those fish. And I think one of the main things we figured out was that when they're just hanging out, not eating, then you can give them another offering. You know, you can give them a crawfish. And fishing deeper, I'm not so sure that was as big a key to it as just basically when those fish were not eating and not up feeding, that we give them a whole different outlook. We give them a whole different lure, you know, in by way of a crawdad, you know, throwing a jig and a crawdad out there for them. And it's something that they do in the Ozark lakes a lot, you know, but it just really dawned on me that those fish are just hanging out down there in those rocks. And basically, they're standing around not eating. Well, I've always had the theory that if you throw a crawfish in front of one, he'll pick it up because it's, you know, it's maybe not something he's going to fill his stomach on, but it's one of those little morsels he'll always eat if he has the opportunity. And, you know, like I say, and basically what we did was we fished a jig around the places where the crawdads are living right now, which being ledgy rock, you know, for the most part. And we let the fishing pressure, so many boats fishing lake. Lake the Ozarks gets a ton of fishing pressure anymore. And we basically let the fishing pressure push us deeper to find those kind of places. And like I say, that's basically the whole key to what we did. You know, we just fished deeper than everybody else did in the tournament for the most part. And where everybody else had been fishing, you know, the weekends prior and stuff, you know. So we just basically give them what they like to eat, you know, and where they were holding out. Fishing pressure pushes fish around. And it pushes big fish around probably more than any other size. You know, a dominant bass in whatever lake you're fishing. And I truly believe that a lot of those fish probably don't live out there normally, but they had had enough DD-22s and, you know, big Rapalas thrown at them, you know, down there 14, 15 foot deep, that I think it pushed a lot of those bigger fish just a tiny bit deeper.
You look back at the history with your dad, and your dad also finished in the top five, so you guys came out with a lot of money in the Hibden household that week. But you look back and, you know, he's got a very strong reputation, you know, probably one of the best anglers I've ever known. And now you guys travel together. You're able to pick each other's brains. And that's got to be a big time advantage when you're out there on the trail.
Absolutely. Especially with what we were doing, you know, because this was new to both of us. But, you know, and like I say, every night we would come in and we'd sit around rigger rods and rigger tackle and we would discuss the day's events. And that really taught us a lot, you know, because, like I say, a lot of this stuff was new to us. So we would kind of decipher it every day. And when I say that, at the end of the tournament, I felt like I could go out and catch another 20 pounds the next day. You know, there was no doubt in my mind. And it's nothing more than I was learning. You know, we were learning as we went along. Two heads are definitely better than one, especially if one of them's, you know, two-time angler of the year and one about everything there is in bass fishing.
Well, that sure doesn't hurt. You know, I guess I'm going to get back into the fishing part of it a little bit. You know, are you vertical fishing that thing? Are you casting it? What are you doing?
No, we're casting it. I mean, it's a casting deal. And one of the reasons, I think you could do some of it vertical, but the reason we cast it is because of the wind. And even at those fish that deep, the fishing pressure that they get, I don't like that water slapping on the bottom of the boat. You know, when you're fishing into the wind, which you would almost have to do, you know, to fish slow and to fish deeper, you have to fish into the wind, and then waves come up and hit on the bottom of that boat, and they make a lot of racket. And they're used to hearing boats go by. But when a fish hears that steadily thumping on the bottom of the boat from them big waves rolling up and slapping on the bottom of the boat, I think that makes them a little bit spooky. So we were casting to everything this week, or last week when we fished the tournament, because we had wind about every day. And I didn't want to be right over top of those fish, you know, 30, 35 foot deep and still have all that noise of that boat really crashing into those waves. So we throwed, we casted, you know. We tried to keep it as close to the boat as we could for hook setting ability and stuff like that, but still, you know, we casted for the most part.
Well, you look at this thing, you had a kind of a cold front that came through. You had a full moon right before it. And, you know, a lot of times people think about the conditions aren't really susceptible to catching shallow fish, but there was a lot of shallow fish caught, of course, because of the docks. But you guys found something where these fish would bite all the time. And I guess it's evident because you've been out all week this week catching them right now at home.
Yeah, it's been good, you know, still after the tournament. I really believe that there's a lot of those fish that stay deep all the time because we catch them on up into December and in January and stuff like that out of the same type of areas. Anytime you're fishing with deep fish, they can move up and down pretty easy, you know, and be in a better depth range for that particular day. And when I say that, they can move straight up, straight down, and cover 10 foot of water in no time instead of being on flat water and having to cover, you know, 100 yards to get to shallower water. So I think the deeper stuff, it's just an easier transition spot for that fish to get to. No matter what level the shad are at, he doesn't have to swim far to get back into them.
Well, and as you mentioned, if the bait's there, it's very, very important that's there because that's why they're there. And so you just put those two and two together.
Betcha. Those clouds of shad were on my depth finder all the time. Every time I'd look down, there'd be a cloud of shad on my depth finder. So, and that's what, you know, they're there for the food, you know. But I really think we caught a lot of the fish that were inactive. They weren't feeding. You know, they were just standing around on those ledges and waiting and, you know, standing around out there on them points. And you know, when they decide to feed, they'd run up there and eat them, a mouthful of them shad. But when they weren't eating, that's when we were catching them, I think.
You're adding your resume almost constantly. I mean, when you look at now, you got an FLW Series win. You've got FLW Tour wins. You got BASS Bassmaster Classic wins. You've got BASS wins. This resume is getting pretty good.
Well, I've been at it a long time. It never comes fast enough. You know that. But yeah, I've been at it a long time. I'm proud of it.
Let's talk a little bit about something on the commercial side a little bit. You guys have got some new videotapes coming out.
Yeah, we got a new DVD out, and we're coming out with more of them too. Our goal is to, you know, kind of teach people how to fish. Simple as that. And we're trying to do it. We're trying to dissect it and do, you know, different things that we feel like people need to know about and want to know about. And so that's what our DVDs are going to be all about for the most part. We did one on white bass fishing. We did one on pike fishing last spring. You know, we're going to do them about grass fishing. We're going to do them on, you know, pretty much everything that we feel like are trouble spots for people.
Well, there's no question if I was going to learn from anybody. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to make a trip down to Graboid Mills and have you take me out on a couple of those rock piles. What do you think?
By golly, I can do it. I know where some are right now.
Yeah, I bet you do. Well, Dion, thanks a lot for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio. Best of luck in the future. And one more event here yet in the year to get done with the FLW Series and should be a fun way the rest of the way.
You betcha. We're excited about the rest of the year.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.